Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor it is to be able to come to you, without having to go through an intermediary. We thank you for the veil that has been removed. We thank you for the price that you paid, O Lord Jesus, and help us. Help us to understand you better. Help us to glean from your word as we open it again this morning for a few verses. And as we watch and hear and see you talking to us. So help us to listen, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we're going through the Bible prayers, you know, it's a little different than being in one book. For Psalms, I think we were in it 6 years. And I almost want to do it again because, you know, the Psalms are always individually so often really uplifting and all. But there's a lot of other verses in the Bible other than just the Psalms. And he's speaking to us in all of them. And so just looking at, we go through it this time once again, primarily at the prayers that we can identify. There's more prayers than these, but these are some of the more obvious ones. Last week we had the first dialogue with man and God that was in the garden with Adam and Eve, and where Adam was asked the question, "Where are you?" And I don't know if you thought of that question at all this week or not, but it's a good question to think about when he is asking us, "Where are you?" and what all that can mean as we think it through. Well, today we go one more generation. We get to the second generation of created man, and that's the two boys, Cain and Abel. And you would think about, you know, we want the good old days, right? We want it back to when everybody was worshiping the Lord and things were so peaceful and calm. No violence. Well, we didn't get very far in this creation until we had the fall of man, which is probably one of the most violent things that could ever happen. And now, following on their first two-born sons, one murders the other. So it's sobering on one hand, and yet it keeps bringing into focus more and more the price that he paid and the victory that he won for us. And how grateful are we? How thankful are we for that? And how do we really even understand that? And understand even today how he has continued to show us his grace and mercy as day in, day out. Thinking of yesterday as an example, 81 years ago, which some of us can remember, not too many in this room, but some of us can remember that day very clearly. And when he blessed this nation tremendously with D-Day and putting an end to the tyranny of the Nazis and all. And yet the war never ends, does it? We've got all kinds of enemies out there. And I don't even want to go there because that's not the purpose of getting together. The purpose of getting together is to look to him. Yeah. And, you know, as I was mentioning to Doug earlier, you know, security, for example, we can build bars and walls and everything else around our home to protect it. But the only real protection is from within, right? He is our only protector. So similarly with our country. Our country is weak. Inside, not outside. We're the strongest military country in the world, but we're really weak on the inside. And all the civilizations fall from the inside, basically. They don't fall from the outside. So what is the Lord telling us? Well, this is the second dialogue he's had with man. So let's listen to it. It must be important if this is who he's telling the first two born sons that we have a record of in the Bible. And where last week it was Adam, where are you? Today it's Cain, kind of where are you? And we pick this up in Genesis 4. We moved all the way from chapter 3 to chapter 4. And we first start out with the situation here regarding sacrifices. In verse 4, verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. So we can spend a couple of sessions on the reason why, and we won't get into that too much today, other than I do believe that it's important to recognize that even early on, by the first generation of Adam and Eve, with them being given tunics of skin, the aspect of blood has come into the picture, the aspect of substitution has come into the picture, the aspect of sacrifice has come into the picture. So from the very first generation, the substitutionary principle and the sacrifice principle is already given to man. And so now we get to the second generation. It was already established what is God's way, and any other way is not God's way. And so what is the other alternative to us? It's man's way, right? So we have two brothers here. One's going to do it God's way, that's Abel. The other one is going to say, no way, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. Look at the crops I have grown here. I tilled the land. I worked hard. Boy, look at what I have. And he ends up being rebellious, obdurant, and he will not surrender to the Lord. So we see now his pride is over the top. And so when his brother, and I believe that the names, if you go by the names, Cain is a robust, strong name, whereas Abel is a weak, sickly name. So assuming there's some characteristics to that, the firstborn now is a strong, strapping son, and the second one comes along, he's kind of weak and puny. So who do you think rules the roost between the brothers? I'm sure that Cain feels far superior. Look how strong I am. Look what all I can do. Maybe Abel was so weak he couldn't even be a farmer. Maybe that's why he raised animals. I don't know. But anyway, get it cutting on through that. We've got the sacrifice now. And we read in Hebrews it was because of Abel's faith. So it's a belief. It's not so much the elements of the sacrifice, but there is that procedure. The way for salvation, the way God's way from the beginning has been substitution and blood to cover our sin, right? And so they have a sacrifice here. That's what this is all for. But Abel blows it. He's going to do it his own way. And God does not respect it. So what is Cain's reaction? What it should have been, he should have humbled himself and gone to his brother and said, could I have one of your lambs to offer to the Lord? But he doesn't. He gets angry. Well, first of all, he gets jealous. So be careful of jealousy. That's the first step. The second step, if that isn't nipped in the bud, it goes to anger or great hatred. And if that isn't stopped, it goes on to violence, and that includes murder, which we have right here. So the Lord says in verse 6, Cain, why are you so angry? And why is your countenance fall? Now, this next verse is probably the key word in this little psalm, this little prayer, as far as we need to kind of pay attention to in one way. We've got a choice here now. God gives them a choice in verse, he gives man a choice here, basically, in verse 7. The first part is, if you do well, will you not be accepted? So that's the first choice. So are you going to do it God's way? You're going to do it your way. If you do it God's way, you do well and it will be accepted. And then the next part, if you do not do well, that means you're going to do it your way. Sin lies at the door. The word there is really crouches. And so sin is always crouching, but we need to be aware of that, but we not be dismayed over that, because he's given us victory over that. So, you know, we go all into all of these different extremes here of grief and everything else. We can either grieve or we can grieve, but knowing that he didn't create us for grief. Because God, all of these other things that man does have like permanent consequences to them. But what did his death on the cross do? It cut through all of that, and there are no permanent consequences for the believer except victory. Think that through for a minute. We are so blessed because of what he has done for us. So we ask then, if you do not do well, sin crouches at the door and its desire is for you. That's Satan, basically, sin. Both of them want to destroy you. Both of them will destroy you if left unchecked. And its desire is for you. Listen to this. But you should rule over it. He's given every one of us that ability to say no to sin. And don't get confused that I'm blaming my sin on Satan. Satan cannot make you sin. He can tempt you, but he can't make you sin. You choose to sin. So you're the culprit. It's not somebody else. Now, again, we've talked about blame shifting and how we've gotten so far away from that there are no criminals anymore. Everybody has justified for doing whatever they did because of what's happened to them in the past. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You're responsible for your actions. And where you take a life, your life is required, is what the rules are really of the game in that regard, because sanctity of life is so important. So now we have a so-called peace conference here, but it doesn't go that way. Cain talked with Abel. Afterward, it came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel and killed him. So that was not a good outcome of that conversation, I guess. So Cain has killed his brother now. Now the Lord, I believe, is offering the first chance for repentance. We see his grace. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Now to Adam is, where are you? And now here is, where is your brother? Because your brother's gone, not there. But notice his answer. I don't know. Lies. Actually, it's probably, I don't know and I don't care. But he did know. Am I my brother's keeper? Wow. Now, you scoff at that and say, how could he say that? But then at the same time, do you ever say that to the Lord? No. Do you ever get back to the Lord when he corrects you and say, either I don't care or I have a reason for that? Justifying. Then the Lord said to him, where is your Abel, your brother? He says, I do not know, my brother's keeper. And God said again, here's another chance for repentance. What have you done? He could have said that to Adam as well. He told Adam, where are you? But here it's a little more direct. What have you done? Because he knows what he's done. The voice of your brother's blood. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Do you see the sanctity of life in that verse? Do you see how important blood is, how important life is? And when you snuff out a life, God knows about it big time. Your blood cries out to me from the ground. So now here is some more grace. He's not saying, okay, you're toast. But, sometimes it would be easier to die than to go through a curse. But he said, just like, Adam and Eve have curses, we have curses. You women still have painful childbirths. That's one of the consequences of it. But here the consequence is you're cursed from the earth. Now remember, this is the farmer. Cain is the farmer. His whole life is growing things. But no longer will the earth receive. Well, let's finish the sentence. You're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. So his days of farming are over. He will just be a fugitive and a vagabond. You shall be on the earth. He will not have a home. He'll be on the move his whole life. So that's quite a curse, isn't it? Cain said to the Lord, Now, this, some feel this is a kind of a repentance here, which is the bright spot in this whole amount of thing, the whole dialogue. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment, that could be iniquity. If it's used iniquity, it makes it a little more plausible thinking this is confession. But my iniquity is greater than I can bear. So he's basically saying, yes, I, in a way you could think, well, he's kind of admitting he did it and he's sorry. Of course, this is after he's heard the word of the curse. So is that remorse or is it repentance? I don't know. Probably more like Judas's remorse than it was Peter's repentance, right? But my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Now he's going beyond the curse. God hasn't killed him. He could have killed him right then. Now again, another time of grace. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. So I'm going to protect you from being killed. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So he's now a marked man because of his iniquity for the curse, but he's not killed. And then we'll end this with this next verse. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, isn't that a tragic statement? Went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Well, Father, as we see this precious dialogue and we can see you teaching us so much in each of your scripture verses and subjects, and we see here the pride and then the jealousy and then the hatred, the anger, and then the murder, then the curse, then they're really moving out from your presence. And it's so sad. It's just so sad what both Abel and Cain were given, that one responded well and the other didn't. So it's such a lesson for us. If both of them would have responded well, we wouldn't even have had a dialogue here to discuss, really. Same parents, same upbringing, same environment, same circumstances. No bad influences from neighboring kids or any of that stuff. This is just the heart that's shown here. And so, Lord, we have, all of us have those desperately wicked hearts. Had those desperately wicked hearts, but you put a new heart in us, Lord.
Yes.
And we do not want any part of that old one, reckoning in it to be dead. And Lord, you have asked us to draw near to you and to come to you in prayer and intercession, supplications and praises, thanksgiving. So Lord, this morning is this little family once again gathering together with the opportunity to communicate with you verbally. Lead us by your Spirit that we would all be in just unison saying amen and amen, one accord. In Jesus' name, let us pray. We kind of come to the end of the hour. I just wanted to remember where we really started with the problem with pride, and still there. Let's close with singing this familiar praise song, Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Father, you tell us over and over and over and over again, we are to humble ourselves in the sight of you, Lord. May we not just say it, may we do it. Lift up Ann this morning, and her car broke down, and asking for prayer for a word from you to what to do. So we lift that up to you. Father, I do want to thank you for this last week. And the Supreme Court had three decisions that were unanimous, all for religious freedom, basically, pertaining to that, and that is a blessing, to be sure. And we pray for them. And Lord, we thank you for the godly people in our government, those that are really seeking you with every decision, with prayer, and asking others to pray as well. We do lift up this Huntington Beach thing that Bill is voted on this next Tuesday, I think, the 10th. And so, Lord, thank you for those that are standing for what is right, and may your will be done there. Father, we know things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better. We know you're going to take care of everything, but you're going to do it in a 7-year period, when all the sin will be wiped out, and then do it again at the end of 1,000 years. Yeah. Millennial reign, Lord, so when we keep asking you to take care of it, help us to read what your word says. You're going to do it right on your timing. Until then, help us to be that witness, Lord. Amen. And whether people receive you or whether or not, that's not the issue. The issue is we're to be faithful. And help us not to want to be congratulated so much when we're just doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
We think it is such a great thing to do this and do that, and that's what we're supposed to do. And help us, Lord, to recognize the victory that you have purchased for us. There's nothing that can harm us eternally. Nothing. Because of what you've done. And the only salvation we have is because of what you have done. And whether we mess up every day for the rest of our lives, but totally trust in you, it is the same destination as if we have 1,000 best days of our lives ahead of us, Lord. I don't know, but the point is, it's you, Lord. It's not us. Help us to respond in love. More love for you, Lord, and more love for one another. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.